NASA's starting an official investigation into what caused the supply rocket explosion in Virginia the other day. It's an expensive setback for the agency's strategy to rely more on contractors and contractor-led innovation to meet its mission. Lou Carestezzi's founder and CEO of Gov Innovators, my guest on Industry Chatter today, and we're talking about hidden opportunities that agencies can use to find innovation inside their own organizations. We're certainly not going to talk about the NASA rocket, Lou. It's great to see you.
Thanks for
coming in, my friend. What is it that has motivated you to start this company, Gov Innovators? You've been in this space for a long time and have a lot of experience serving federal customers, but why are you going in this direction of innovation, and what's the opportunity that you see for agencies?
I started out in local government and have ended up in federal government, mm-hmm. and I believe in good government. I think when my kids are my age, government will look real different, and that's going to be evolution. That's going to be innovation. Government will keep making changes to deliver more value to the citizen in better ways. Mm-hmm. And Gov Innovators, the idea is to help government innovate more from the inside out, mm-hmm. do more of it. They're not going to have a lot of budget to buy a lot of innovation. Contractors will always help, but government needs to do more innovation from the inside out, and that's what I'm going to support.
So when we talk about the concept of innovation, two things occurred to me, and we talked about innovation a lot at the Executive Leadership Conference in Williamsburg mm-hmm. this week. The concept of innovation itself, mm-hmm. people seem to have a different idea of what that means. Is that really such a bad idea? Because it took a long time to define what's cloud computing,
right.
what's big data mean, some of these other buzzwords that
right.
we hear a lot about. We're starting to coalesce around definitions of those concepts, but I wonder if that's even necessary about something like innovation when it's not a set thing.
It's probably a good thing, because you can innovate around technology, you can innovate around the business model, and you can innovate around both. And if you do both, it could be what's you've heard disruptive technologies
sure.
and more radical change. You could innovate some things that are less radical. And agencies can, if they're strategic about it, they can pick and choose a target and do that. So the variety in it, I think, gives them opportunity, and it's not a bad thing to think of it in different ways.
The concept of something disruptive coming to the government, certainly to somebody from the outside, I imagine the commercial people that you talk to think the idea of the government leveraging anything disruptive is probably unheard of. My takeaway on innovation from ELC was that disruptive technology or something disruptive innovation isn't really what agencies are looking for. They're looking for maybe incremental gains that they can pile on top of each other and show multiple wins to be able to build business cases. Does that fit with what you take away?
Nothing unreasonable with incremental. Disruptive might be getting a little bit of a bad connotation. Mm-hmm. So, for example, think about the time when the USDA got so much to farmers through a county extension service.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can get it to the farmer in his or her home or combine and on a device.
Yeah.
That's disruptive. That changed the whole business model. And that wasn't a negative thing. It was actually a positive thing for mm-hmm. the farmer, positive thing for the agency. Disruptive, but not negative.
So what does it mean to innovate from the inside out?
A lot of the time, and government contracts the innovation. Nothing wrong with that. I've been doing that. Many people do, and it brings good innovation. Budgets are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can only innovate as much as you can buy,
uh-huh.
you have a limit. If government thinks about its own people, its own capabilities, grows the capability, and does more innovation that it leads,
mm-hmm.
it can do more innovation. And it doesn't always have to be expensive. It doesn't always have to involve technology. It could involve rethinking who your customers are. It can involve thinking the supply chain, how you get something valuable to a customer. It can involve things that may have a technology component to it, but aren't about a software or hardware.
Mm-hmm. As you were talking about that initially, answering that question initially, I jotted down just before you said it, customer service.
Yeah.
Because thinking about what it is that you need to accomplish seems to be at the core of what government people who
yep.
are interested in innovation are talking about.
Yeah.
I need to do this rather than here's some kind of new technology that I want to apply somehow.
Yes.
And I'll figure out how to make it work for the mission later on, that's not as important. And to be fair, I mean, I saw a lot of that when social media first became prevalent.
Right.
I recall a conversation, a conversation that I had with an agency tech executive who said, we're going to get a Facebook page. I said, that's fantastic. What are you going to put on the Facebook page? How are you going to use that to communicate with people? Well, we're going to communicate with them through the Facebook page. and it became this kind of circular dialogue until finally I realized they weren't quite sure what they were going to do with their Facebook
page. But they were going to get
it. But they were going to be on Facebook.
And a Twitter account.
Right. And just by the nature of being there, somehow people were going to magically find them.
We've all heard the stories of technology purchased and sitting in boxes.
Yeah.
And that happens for a number of reasons. But tech innovation should serve a business objective. It should serve the agency's business objectives. And ideally, the conversation starts with, what's the problem we're trying to solve?
Mm-hmm.
And then you not only apply technology to it, you could apply their business change to it. It's easy to focus on technology, partly because that's where a lot of capability lives.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to do something faster, smarter, or cheaper, it can often involve a technology.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, appropriations and procurement is set up to buy mm-hmm. things. So you think about technology. But if you start with the business question, you can go down the technology path, you can go down the business model, business process path, and you can bring them together.
Mm-hmm. So is that maybe the mistake that we make when we talk about innovation, that we assume that it involves some kind of technology solution rather than just using our noodle and figuring out processes and
it's a mistake
business
in the
strategies
sense that,
and so on?
It is a mistake in the sense that if you kind of don't snap out of that,
yeah.
you just go down the path of technology, and then you're looking for a technological solution, could be there. But you can also chase those forever. Technology never stops changing. Mm-hmm. Now, if you step back and say, well, wait a minute, who's the customer? What do they value? What am I doing to get them that value? And what do I need to change? That could involve technology. It could involve some other things. Mm-hmm. Then you have a different conversation going on.
Yeah.
And then you're not necessarily chasing the next shiny technology solution.
Right.
You might be putting together a strategy that goes for several years of how you're going to skate to where the puck's going to be with your customer.
Mm-hmm.
In a total package, kind of a total picture.
I like the question, what problem is it we're trying to solve? I mean, that should be, it's not always, but it should be at the core of every business case that an agency
puts together. There was a
blog
this week, and it may be a GovLoop or on LinkedIn, one of LinkedIn groups that said, good innovators don't care about innovation.
Mm-hmm.
They care about a problem. They're trying to solve a problem.
And the creativity that goes along with that, for somebody from the outside looking in, is often where they see government coming up short. Is that a fair criticism, do you think? Because I look around and I see a lot of people doing some pretty neat, innovative things.
They are.
They may not even know they're being innovative by doing what they're doing.
I think government innovates a lot more than it gets credit for, mm-hmm. and partly that is because it doesn't market that. It doesn't need to. But then it's not known. It innovates in ways that are behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
It can innovate processes that a citizen won't know are better, but they maybe get a better service out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the big ones are some of the big innovations are just things that we've kind of come to think are commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
I was standing in line at Disney World one day with a storm coming,
uh-huh.
and instantaneously about 10 cell phones pinged with an alert. And that's not only NOAA, right? That's a government agency getting that information out. It also had used a technology that didn't clog the cellular system, mm-hmm. cellular network. Those are innovations that citizens don't think about, but then how many of us think about government delivering clean water to our kitchens and taking the wastewater away? It's a government function that's so commonplace, we don't think about it much anymore. Government is innovating a lot, and it gets sometimes a deserved rap for being bureaucratic, sometimes a very unfair rap for being bureaucratic, because it's solving more problems than if it's showcased, then people would think, wow, I didn't know that all that was going on.
So the relief that I hear, the good news that I hear, is that if innovation isn't shackled to technology, then it can be deployed pretty much anywhere anybody is creative or thoughtful enough to devise some kind of strategy that is different than what they're doing before.
Yes, and that's that other conversation mm-hmm. about who are our customers, what do they value. T- Take, for example, VA. With the number of wounded veterans and the types of injuries, which you know have changed over time, and rural veterans, you know, the veteran used to get to a doctor's office or a medical facility and see the medical provider. That's not always, that's not so possible for in rural. Now, VA's gotten iPads to 1,000 veterans. And that's not just to see each other and communicate. There's medical information being transacted across that network. And now the VA is working with the veterans' caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a spouse or a child or a parent or a neighbor in a rural area. Mm-hmm. So that changes the business model some. So the iPad was the easy technical solution.
Yeah.
But now back in a medical center, are we staffed to do that in mm-hmm. in a big way? Are we going to get a spike of activity from caregivers as they get home at 5 o'clock and need to contact the medical personnel? Do we have access to the information we need on the medical side, on the VA side, when the patient's not coming to the center? Now I'm going to the patient in a way. So the business model changes because that simple technology was put out in the hands of the veteran and a family.
So there's two threads there I want to pull on. One of them is simplicity. I come away from the comments that you made in the first part of our conversation thinking that innovation at its core not only should be simple, but it almost needs to be simple, because by the nature of the way you laid it out when we were talking before, you're trying to improve on something or enhance something that you're already doing now, or reform it, or whatever adjective you want to apply to it. So it seems to me simplicity is necessary to push the ball forward. Am I on the right track?
You are on the right track. It's conceptually has to be simple. Mm-hmm. Really, so that if the definition of innovation is doing something different to get a better result, that means in the eyes of the customer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, government has some challenges. Maybe we'll come back to this. Government has a lot of customers, and that's just the nature of government. But if the idea is that the love, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, the value's in the eye of the customer, it keeps things pretty clean and simple to think about, well, what's the customer need?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's just say that there's authority for, you know, and there's a question of authority that government faces that a commercial provider wouldn't, but not out of scope, not out of account, not out of bounds for what a mission. What's the customer value? And that keeps things real clean and simple. You can proceed from there and get into the innovations around technology and business processes and model that get involved, but not complicated.
Mm-hmm. The other one I wanted to pull on is you gave the example of a veteran and a healthcare provider communicating with each other. And the innovation in that case is not the device that each person is using on either end. The innovation is, at some point, somebody said one of two things. Somebody said, how can we connect provider and patient in a better way? Oh, we can use it doing this, using this piece of technology and software that either exists or that we develop for that purpose. Or at some point, somebody said, here's a piece of technology. How could this technology and what it enables help us perform our mission better? Oh, one way to do that would be connecting a healthcare provider with a patient in a way that they can communicate over this over the internet rather than face to face. Does it matter when you're trying to think of innovative concepts which way that happens, or is there one method or the other that you think is more more easy for government agencies to use?
I think it only matters if you start with the technology and stay with the technology and don't broaden the conversation or the effort from the technology. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter in the sense that Theodore Levitt, Harvard professor, said creativity is about thinking up new things. Innovation is about doing new things.
Mm-hmm.
So innovation is the in the commercial world for decades, story after story of stealing an idea, not a patent, stealing an idea from one industry and applying it someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
Containers had been used on railroads for decades. Somebody said, we could put a container on a ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that revolutionized shipping across, especially from Asia to the U.S., but around the world.
Yeah.
Simple idea. Brand new use.
Mm-hmm.
And so for someone to start with an existing technology conversation about the existing technology or a problem, how can we do this better?
Mm-hmm.
That's really the questions you ask really are the starting place for the conversation that gets you to the innovation.
You spend a fair amount of time, as we discussed before we went on the air, studying commercial best practices, and you act as a kind of a conduit between the commercial world and what they see innovation-wise and the government world and what they see and want. Are there parallels or overlaps? Yeah. Does the concept of innovation best practices apply? Can you take it out of the commercial sector and lay it down in the public sector and have it work?
A great deal out of the commercial sector and put it down in the public sector. To some considerable degree, organizations are organizations mm-hmm. are organizations. And there's libraries full of innovation research in the commercial world, going back 4 or 5 decades. And, listening to your show over time, when you talk to folks about what's working well or what didn't go well, and so, a lot of what I hear, something didn't go well, some basic piece maybe was overlooked or mm-hmm. shortcut. When things go well, usually the basics have been in place.
Uh-huh.
The basics of innovation around the questions, the curiosity, the recognition of a problem to mm-hmm. start with, the curiosity of how to solve it, and the conversations you have to experiment, right? It's a learning process to try to find the different thing that produces a better result. Those things are highly transferable.
Mm-hmm.
Government's got some constraints that the commercial world doesn't. And a really obvious one is the money. How many years of 1 year money, 2 year money. So as a business, in the generic sense, if government's going to try to make a commitment to solving something, mm-hmm. those kinds of things can hamper it.
Yeah.
But that's not a problem of innovation.
You know, I hear more often, though, people expressing exasperation about the zero defect mentality than I do even about budgets. I mean, people understand kind of where budgets are headed for the foreseeable future, and they're reconciled to the fact that it might not be what they want, but it's what they're going to have to deal with. It's the reality of it. That worldview of experimentation is the harder nut to crack, I think, because of the fear might be too strong of a word, but it may not be, of if I make a $500,000 or $10 million mistake, I'm going to have to answer to the chairman of the oversight committee that oversees my agency about why that went wrong.
Right.
Even if you can make a good business case about why it was a reasonable $500,000 or $10 million to spend to take a chance that you might have achieved a desirable outcome.
One of the harder lessons, even in the commercial world, that doesn't transfer all the time is that there needs to be a spirit of some exploration, some learning.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you went about this in a businesslike way, this being an innovation project, and you would have objectives that you would attempt to measure the project against, one of them should really be about what can we learn? Sometimes the things you learn surprise you and have value, you just didn't see them coming. That's not always done in the commercial world either. There's that same fear that you talked about in both sectors. The fear of ending up on the news, on the front page of the Washington Post, of being hauled up before a committee,
mm-hmm.
is something that only the managers in the government can grapple with, because it's they who get called up there, and it's their teams who are trying to innovate. So they're kind of on the hot seat. A way to stay out of trouble on a big project, of course, and I've heard your guests talk about this, is chunking them down into smaller pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think about it from a strict risk management approach, you can start to mitigate some risk, maybe transfer some risk, accept some risk,
mm-hmm.
and by how you design the effort.
Mm-hmm. We're just about out of time. I appreciate you coming in. It's great to see you again. If I'm going to take one thing away from the posts that you put on your blog and the conversation that we've had today, Lou, I think it would be this. Let's stop saying, all right, let's be innovative and let's do something that is innovative. And let's start saying we should be creative in defining a problem and solving it and see what happens. Is that a fair takeaway on my part, do you
think? That's a fair takeaway, and it makes me think of something that we hadn't talked about, but I'm glad for the opportunity to mention. One of the things that happens when a group of people do something that's innovative is they reconnect to a mission. They mm-hmm. reconnect to each other in a mission. And folks in government feel so much like they're working against the system to get their job done, mm-hmm. that if they start with the question that you just posed there, is what can we do? What's a problem that needs solved, and how can we solve it? And they make some modest strides on that. It can help them reconnect to the mission and help them produce something better for somebody. It could be the ultimate customer, meaning a citizen. It could be an internal customer, mm-hmm. Francis. There's government's got all kinds of stakeholder groups and watchdog groups. Those are customers too.
Sure.
And maybe there's a benefit somewhere along the line.